you stand, please? Praise that flow from those redeemed. Thank you, Lord. And the redeemed says so. We know to tell you what, and that's from God. You are. Words are not enough. Listen to our heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's an awesome God tonight. Amen. A miracle working God. You have a need tonight, you're in the right place. Because that is what God specializes on. He will meet all your needs. The only thing you have to have is the right attitude to approach God, to approach His Word. And if you do that, every promise that He make you, it could be possible tonight. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Sit down just for a minute. Let me. You've been standing long enough anyway. I guess I forgot what I was supposed to do. I guess this is my first time here this year in the new sanctuary. I've been in here for preaching for 6 months now, since we begin the year. So if I make mistakes or if I look that I don't know what I'm doing, even though I look that way all the time, just forgive me. I try to relearn here a few things. People say, you know, when you learn how to ride a bike, you never forget it. But if you don't do it for a long time, you always fall a few times before you get back in and get control. So if we fumble here at the ball and fumble a few words, you know, I ask you to forgive me. I don't think it's going to be that bad, but just in case. That's a disclosure. I got to have a disclosure. Amen. It's glad to be here. It's an honor. It's a privilege. And it's an honor to be able to give our brother a break. You know, he works hard. Your pastor works hard. I know because I know about this work. I don't do as much as he do, but I know if he do as much as I do plus, it's a lot of work to care, to shepherd a congregation of this size. Even though you don't think it's big enough, but it's big enough to have all kind of situations and circumstances and problems. I'm glad that he is a pastor. I don't want his position. He can have it. I told him when I came to work with him, I said, do you not have to worry about me? I don't want your position. In fact, I don't even want my position, so don't worry about it. We're fine. So it's good now that we can get back into the saddle and kind of let me loosen up and get going. And if I get too loose and I start talking Spanish, don't worry about it. We have a translator over there. So tonight, I like to kind of talk about family, God's family. And the reason I want to do that is because these 6 months have taught me something. Not that I didn't know about the importance of the family, but now I know more about the relationship, more about the value of a family. See, Brother Branham was told to be more sincere. That don't mean that he wasn't sincere, but he wanted to be more. So I think I have learned more about family. And you know, and the value and the importance of family. And I'm not talking only about the physical family, but I'm talking about the spiritual family of God. I think we need to understand the importance, you know. This is not just a gathering, you know, casual. We come and check a box. So I went to church. This is more than that. You are a family. We are a family. And there's a lot of things in a family, in the physical family. We're going to see that it's just as good as in the spiritual family of God. It works the same way. So we are not just here just because, you know, we want to enjoy, and it's nothing wrong to enjoy the Spirit of God and to worship, but it is a little bit more than that. In fact, there's only two kind of people here. You know, one that had the right attitude toward the family of God, and one that don't. That's all. Because the right attitude, the right mental attitude towards the Word of God, and this is God. You are a Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. So we have to have the right attitude toward each other as a family as well. Amen. So this is not a casual gathering. This is God and His thought coming together. And you need to understand that that's more than just sitting and coming to church. There's a responsibility that we have to meet when you come to church. So we have to have the right mental attitude towards what we are doing in church. Amen? So shall we stand and let's read Ephesians chapter 3. And we probably read the first 15 verses. He says, let me get my, see where I put my glasses, so I can show my age anyway. For this cause, I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. See, he's free. You know? He's free of the bondage, of the slavery of Satan. But he's not free to do what he wants. He is free now to become a prisoner, to choose to become a prisoner of God. You know, sometimes we say, but I'm free and I can do whatever I want. No, you're not. You know, freedom is not a cheap stuff. It costs a lot of people. It was a lot of blood, a lot of wars in this country. So you can have the freedom to come and worship and gather together in America. A lot of people die and shed their blood for you. So it wasn't a cheap stuff. It cost somebody something. God paid a price. He paid the price with His own blood so you could be here. And that is not something that we take too lightly. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore a few words. Thereby, when you read, that you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages were not made known unto the sons of men, and it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So see, the other ages cannot come to a rapturing. They couldn't. They didn't have the whole word. Now the word has been restored in entirely. See, this is the last end. This is the end. This is the age that is going to take a rapture. Because now we have a full word restored to us. So, he's saying, sons and men now reveal unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be what? Fellow heirs. And of the same body. So, how many bodies do we have? We don't have a Gentile body and a Jewish body. No, it's just one body. Amen. Made out of Jews, made out of Gentiles. It's only one body and partaker of His promises in Christ by the gospel. Therefore, I was made minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power unto me, whom I'm less than the least of the saints. Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery? Wow, I like mysteries. Do you like mysteries? You know what it means, the fellowship of the mystery? But he was just talking about just a few verses back that the mystery was that you and I were in His mind as a thought. Not only you and me, but His creation. But that mystery, now we know that you as a Gentile was in the back of His mind. Not only you, but the Jew was in the back of His mind. We all a family having fellowship with Him. That was the mystery. Now this is all no mystery no longer. So, mystery which from the beginning of the world has been hid. Where? In Christ, in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was the logo. God created himself in the creation. It was God, Jesus was the logo. And through him, he did all things. To the intent that now unto the principalities of powers and heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. See, you are a thought of God. You are an attribute of God. Why? So everybody will know who God is. God as a father. You want to know what God is as a father? Look at yourself. That is what God intended, to be a father, to be a sister, to be a daughter. See? But see, the only way he can show that to humanity, because God, nobody has seen God. Nobody can touch God. What? You are. See? The manifestation of his thoughts, telling the world this is what God is. And now some people look at you and you think you're crazy, but we are not crazy. We know what we have believed. Anyway, it says places that we know the manifold wisdom of God. So if you want to know God, Brother Brown said, the only place that you are going to see God today, the world is not going to see it, but the only place they will see it is what? In his church. Amen. Because you are an attribute of God. You are the manifestation of God to this age. He says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. God has three purposes. The first purpose, because God is a savior. See, God had attributes. He's a savior. But he needed for a man to be lost in order for him to have a purpose and a reason to be. If nobody falls, can you imagine the creation went on, all the children of God came forward, and then somebody asked somebody else, you know, maybe Brother John asked me, you know, I heard that God is a savior, and I would say, well, yeah, he was talking about that, but I don't know what that means. I mean, who got lost? Well, so far no one got lost. So how do we know what that means? He's a healer. John said, but I never got sick. What is sickness? I don't know. We're perfect, you know. So how do you going to know God unless there's somebody sick, there's somebody lost, there's somebody needed? So God allowed for man to fall so he can display his attributes, so we can learn who God is, see, through us. The world don't know God is a healer unless you get sick and you, God will touch you, and then you said, God heal me. Amen. See, people look at you like, I don't believe in God, but I don't know. I do. We do.
Right.
In whom, so three purposes. He needed a purpose and a reason to be what he was. Now, what about you? What is your purpose and what is your reason? Do you have a purpose and a reason to come to church? Do you have a reason and a purpose to be what you are, what God called you to be? Have you found out your purpose and your reason in this earth? Young people always looking for that. I was looking for that. I didn't know what I was and who I was and what I was supposed to do until he found me. Then I found purpose in my life. But in the meantime, you know, we're going around like a chicken with your, you know, with the head cut off, trying to figure out where we do and where we go and who we are going to be. But I'm glad that I know who I am. I know what I am by his grace. I got a purpose and I got a reason to live alive. Wherefore the child, and then the last thing was, he wanted a family. That's all. He didn't want to be God, non-seen. Nobody can see it, nobody can talk, nobody can touch. He wanted to be touched, he wanted to be contact. He wanted to shake hands. He wanted to do things. He wanted to contact humanity. He didn't want to be a far God somewhere that nobody could see or know. He wanted to be known. So Jesus Christ came in the scene. And John said, we touched him. We heard him. We seen him. Our eyes, our ears hurt. So now God become not only intangible, now become tangible. And he wanted to be a tangible God. So those who... three purposes that at least in Brother Branham mentions about, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the face of him. Therefore, I desire that you faint not in my tribulation for you, which is your glory. Of course, for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I bow my knee unto the Father, to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. Amen. And what is the name?
Hallelujah.
Jesus. That's why we know the name of God. Because that's the name of his Son. And he says, all the families in heaven and earth are named Jesus.
Amen.
This is so simple. Now we can see all these things. Before, you know, it was all a mystery. We didn't know that the name of God was Jesus. Amen. And let me read one more scripture in Acts 3:25. It says, you are children of prophets. See, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in his seed shall be all the kindred of the earth be blessed. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity that we have to come together, Father, to gather here. Father, we want to learn. We want to sit at your feet tonight. We want you to talk to us, Father. We want you to teach us the things that we ought to know that are important, Father, to you. Because if it's important to you, it should be important to us as well. Show us those things, Father. Train us so we can mature, Father. And we will have the desire to do and to please you and be obedient to you, Father, as we do this word that we are going to hear tonight. Father, we just don't want to be hearers. We want to be doers of your word. Let that word become life in us tonight, Father. Father, be with those that are home. Father, we bless them just as well. We ask you to be with your little bride around the world. Be with Israel, Lord, and keep them, cover them, protect them, Father, tonight. Father, we ask you all these things in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. So, we are children, and Paul says that we are family. So, and this was not your idea. This was not your government idea. This was God's idea. The idea of family, it was his. That's what is so important. Because if that is God's thought, that is also should be your thoughts. See? Because you are children of God. And whatever thought God has is the right thought. And it should be in your heart. So, if God loves family, how much more us? We should love one another as a family. You know, in the physical, you understand this easy. You love your families, the father and the mother, and you guide them and you lead them. And you take care of them, safety, security. You provide everything for them. But see, the family of God is the same way. There's no different. Because God is no different. The same God that has that idea of a family is the same God that is here tonight. And that idea hasn't changed at all. See? So, Genesis 32:12, it says, and thou said, I will surely do thee good and make the seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered. And also in Genesis 26:4 says, and I will make the seed to multiply as stars of heaven, and will give unto thee the seed of all these countries, and thy seed shall all nations and of the earth be blessed. So he tells Abraham, you know, look at the stars. See? And look at the sun, and that shall be your seed, your kindred. So God has one family. Paul just said it. Heaven, the family in heaven, and the family in earth. And they all become one family. They are not two families. And one of these days, we are going to gather all together. When the last one comes in, we will go home and we will be a big, happy family. See? And the Bible revealed this relationship. We're talking over here about family. God's family relationship. And it's very important to God. See, It is so important to God that all the body is made of the believers, and all the mystical bodies called the family of God. Now, this is what I'm saying. In the beginning, God performed his first marriage, right? Evan, that's the beginning of the family. That was God. Today, the Constitution says that, you know, and still, at least, they haven't changed it yet, says that a marriage is between a man and a woman. Now, that is changing. You know, some of the states are changing. They cannot change yet the Constitution, but they are changing their own laws. So they can allow this thing to happen, because that is what Satan wants. Satan, from the very beginning, all he wanted to do is to destroy the family. Because he knows if he destroyed the family, that is the backbone of this nation, he destroyed the nation. What we're seeing right now is the destruction of family. And in this time, we should be coming more together as a family. As we see the day approaching, we should be closer. Because Satan wants to destroy that relationship. See, he don't mind if you have a tribe of the blacks over here, another tribe, they will not divide them in tribes, see? Why? Because if we get together, you know, he loses. Amen. But being apart, you know, a house that is divided, it falls. Amen. See? So if we are united, that's what the strengths are. So he's trying to keep us separated, because he knows as long as we are separated, we cannot conquer. And that is the same thing in this local church. If we are not together in one accord, in one mind, we will fall. We will not be able to conquer as a church, as a family of God in this church. And I'm going to go a little deeper on that one. So God cannot break his word. He performed the first marriage. And then the Bible says later on, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Genesis 2:24. I'm jumping a little bit, so just follow me here. So, that's the reason God has to leave his royal place and come down and become man, to join himself to who? To the wife. Amen. See, God don't break his word. From the very beginning, he says, I have to come. Not that she's going to go, but he needs to come. Because that is what the Bible said. It says over here again, and they shall become one flesh. And he will lead the Father and became incarnated to join what? Her. That's one of the reasons he has to come. We know the other reason. He is a kinsman redeemer. However, he came to join himself to what? To her. This is uniting times. This is the time where he is uniting with the bride. The marriage is here. Uniting times are now. The supper will be then. The marriage supper will be when we leave here. But this is where God is uniting himself with her. That's why he came, to die, to redeem her, and to join here. So that's family. Then it started the family of God. And as soon as the last one comes saying, we are gone. So this is not a time for separations. This is not a time to have, this is my idea and this is your idea. There's just one God and it's just one family. And in church, it should be no different. You know, if I am a son of God, full of the Holy Ghost, and God tells me something, and I do it, and he tells you the same thing, and you don't do it, then there's something wrong. We have one God, one spirit, one thought. Why are we having so many disagreements and complaints? Why do we have different ideas and thoughts? Because they're not coming from God. If I got the Holy Ghost and God made me act a certain way, if you had the same Holy Ghost in the same situation, you should act the same way. do you think God has double standards? Well, John, this is for you, but you don't have to do what Elijah's doing. Well, if it is God, how many God do we have? It's just one God, one thought. So what I'm saying is, as a family, we come together on the one Father, on the one head that is Jesus Christ, on the one mind. So we should have no disagreement. I mean, if we are really like brother been preaching, we need to overcome ourselves. Because that is the only thing. We are our worst enemy. God wants to bring the family together. Listen, my friend, we are not living here and then hoping that when we get there, we will be together and we will love each other. If you cannot love your brother right here, you are not going to love your brother there. If you don't have the same thought that God puts in my heart through the Holy Ghost, and you don't have the same thought, something is wrong. And it's not God. Okay, might as well say it. You know, God told me to come to church. And the same God tell you to come to church, but it's not for you. So are we serving two different gods? I just want you to think about it. Because the only reason that we are not coming together, you know, if we come together in one mind, in one accord, things could happen. You know, Brother Van said, one person can make the whole service crash with the wrong attitude. The wrong attitude is, he has the wrong idea about what God thinks about it. Because if God give you a thought, you know, that's it. The same thought is good for me, it's good for you. Dressing, we know how to dress, and we don't have to go through all that. We don't have two thoughts about dressing codes here. We know how to dress. We know what a father, what a son of God supposed to be. Brother been talking about, you know, overcoming this flesh and talking about fornication and all this stuff. You know, we need to be holy, you know, purified. But that's for all of us, not just for some people.
Right.
I don't think God has two laws, one for you and one for me. I think we have the same law.
Amen.
So, Brother Branham says over here in 06-08, having a conference, that's the way people act tonight about church. Act. Said they get out here and run around and carry on with the world, and they haven't got time to go to church to hear. Oh, setting a conference to hear the gospel preach. Oh, we ought to be interested in every meeting. Now, I am interested because God is interested. So he has another love for somebody else that you don't have to be interested? According to this, we all should have the same feeling towards the meeting, to come to meet God. He says, we ought to be interested in every meeting, in every conference where God's people meet together.
Yes. Amen.
Right. That don't leave no one out. Right?
Amen.
So it's not only me and the preacher. Well, the preacher has to be there. He don't have no other choice. But you have choice. You don't have any choice. You got the same choice I got. We should be interested in it. If we are not, then there's something wrong. Do we have the same father? And do we have the same thought? So what's the problem? The flesh. That's all I mean. It's just me. I'm tired and whatever. You know, this excuses. And I'm not trying to be insensitive. People are sick and people take vacations. I know, I'm not talking about that. But if you're in town and you're well, this is where you should be on Wednesdays and on Sundays. Why? That's not my thought, Sister Cornelia. That is his thought.
Amen.
So that thought is just as good for you that it is for me.
Amen.
Unless you want to make some justification, that is not. He says, the family is so important to God that when we have a meeting, God wants to see the family come together. Don't you like that when you have family at home? You like to see your family together, and Sister Emma. But the church is no different. God wants to see family together. And when you don't come to church, God is looking. Well, I wonder, what is my son today? Well, he knows, but where's my son? He should be here. We have a gathering. We have a 7-course meal we're going to be served today. Where's my child? You know? So I'm saying there's no excuses. Why? Because that's how God operates. The same way you operate with your family. You love to see all your children happy. They come together in the house. He says, and that is important for God. And we need to examine this. And that's what I want to do. Examine a little bit, you know, look at the importance of the family. See, and what that means to us, what that means to you, what that means to God tonight. For I'm sure that in this late hour that we are living, you know, to come together is just what's lacking. You know what Brother Brown said? When that day starts coming, Satan is not going to leave you guys the way you are. You know, you start a new assembly, a new church, and everybody's happy and together, and everybody's coming. But he says, Satan, we're not going to leave you that way. He's going to come in, trying to infiltrate the ranks, and trying to break. But that's what's happened always. You know what happened in the garden? Satan broke fellowship with God. That was all it is. And that's why Satan comes into an assembly, to break what? The fellowship. Once the fellowship is broken, there goes the family. Because you don't see them anymore. They're gone. Because now fellowship is really the left hand of family. Just like love and faith are sisters, you know, so also is family. If you love family, you have to have fellowship. If you love your wife, you have to have fellowship. There's no other way around. See? And God wants fellowship. That was the first thing he wanted to begin with. He wanted to contact his children. He created Adam and Eve so he can come in the cool of the evening and have fellowship with his family. That's God's idea. Now we come on Wednesday in the cool of the evening. I know there's some restrictions. Not everybody's here. I understand. We're not talking about that, you know, with this situation with the coronavirus. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about the attitude about coming to see Father God and get together with the children, with our brothers and sisters, see, and have fellowship with you. God wants your fellowship more than you want it. See? And he wants to give it to you more than you desire to have fellowship with him. He says, and I'm sure in this late hour, what Brother Brown said was, when Satan comes in and trying to do that, to separate, to break the fellowship, he said, what he said, you guys join together even more, shoulder to shoulder. So if he tried to get in, you can squeeze him out. Amen. Don't let him, said, come in between. See? So, and that's the hour that we are living. We have to struggle just about for everything these days. Things are not easy, I understand that. But we have to, if we don't make a sacrifice, what good it is? It won't be a sacrifice to come to church. Coming to church is a sacrifice. I know I had children and I had a wife, and I still have a wife, and my children have gone somewhere else, you know, in other states, but I tell you what, it wasn't easy for me. You know, like it's not for you as a family. Yeah, let's go. But I have one rule and one rule only. Follow me. Hallelujah. As I follow Christ. You know, so when Sunday came, nobody asked me, we going to church? No, get dressed and we all go to church. Wednesday, we all go to church. We're not living in a democratic family that... Let's take a vote. Who wants to go to church today? No, I went to church. They went to church. Because that is God's idea of family. When he came down in the cool of the evening, you think Adam and Eve said, well, you know, I don't think I want to get together with God today. Can you imagine? I'm tired. I'm just going to go to sleep. Ah, but he's going to, well, you know, let him walk around and talk to the plants and to the trees, you know. Can you imagine that? Because that's what God created them for. They couldn't do nothing else. See, that was God put that in their hearts, you know, and God put the same feeling in your heart, you know. So we need to find out whatever is important to God, and I want to know what that is. You know why? Because I want to do it. That's what I want to learn. I want to learn because I want to do what pleases God. Amen. And that is what I want to go through this a little bit, so we can learn what God wants and likes. And we find out then, and we learn to see what is for us today, what God has for us. You know, this is a time that we come to learn about God, you know, and see God, what do you have for me today? You know, Brother Doug, you know, was talking about, you know, he preached about God is love and God's love you, but he also, Bible said, if love is corrective,
yes.
We don't like that little part, you know, where come with the scrub and, you know, and your high coming out and all that stuff, but he did both of them that day. But you know, that's love, and that's love. You don't let your children do whatever they want. If you do, you ruin your children. And if there's no correction, the Bible said they just bastard children. That's what the Bible says. They are not children of God. See, so when God corrects you, God loves you. And when he don't correct you, but he is just loving you and making you happy, that's love too. It's love either way. So when I see brother, sometimes apologizing, but it's a little rough. Hey, you know, go ahead. Just take my hide out, because I know that God loves me. That's not brother Doug. That's God love for me. And I'm glad that he wants to straighten me out. And I want to be straightened out. So, let's see what he promised. Let's see. Let's take a look at some of the importance of the family. And you might say, what do we need? What do we got? We need God's family and brothers and sisters. Well, can you imagine yourself without a family? Well, you won't be here if you don't have a family. You have to have family. You have to have a father and a mother in order for you to be here today. So you need family. Family is important. See, it's the smallest unit, you know, that makes our society. And when they come together, it becomes the backbone of a country. See? And when it comes together, we become the body of God in earth. So can you imagine not having a family? You will be left all by yourself and no one there to care for you. No one there to make you happy. No one there to make you sad. No one there to annoy you once in a while and poke on you. In fact, you like it. You said you don't, but, you know, I always pick on John sometimes. But, hey, that's my love to John. I pick on him because I love him. That's love. John said, don't love me so much. You're going to kill me. See? But can you imagine? We need family because that was God's idea. I don't care where you put it, but that's where it came from. And God is perfect. And whatever God do is perfect. So if that's perfect and that's important to God, it should be important to us, the relationship that we have with family. See? Yeah, I don't know where you be when you have troubles and difficulties in life. You know, who will you share your stories with? Who would you talk to? You know, God made us that way. Actually, God made us so we can need one another. You know that I cannot make it without you, and you cannot make it without me. That's how God made it. I need you, and you need me, and we need each other. And we should be acting like that we need each other as a family. Amen? Okay, the importance of family, as I mentioned. The first thing and the foremost, family of God is always there for support and security. In the physical sense, that's why they are there. Mom and dad always protect you and keep you and provide for you. See? And if there's any kind of problem, they are there to make sure you don't get hurt. So in 1 John 14:18-20 says, and I will not leave you comfortless, says the Lord. I will come to you. See, God don't want us to go around having no family, no father, you know, or someone to lead us and guide us, someone to keep us. He says, I'm not going to leave you that way. I will come to you. If not, we will be just bouncing around like a tumbleweed. You know, when the wind goes, there we go. He goes, Eli. And he comes another wind. He goes, Eli. Why? Because there's nothing to hold me, nothing to keep me. But he said, I will not leave you comfortless. See? All that in that day you shall know. What day? In the day that you receive the Holy Ghost. See, in that day that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I'm in you. So we need family. We need our Father. So we can be safe and secure in his arms. See, we cannot be doing whatever we want. We don't even know what we want. I don't even know what I want. Sometimes what I want, I find out that it's not what I wanted to begin with. I make wrong choices. I did things that I shouldn't have done because I thought I was okay. I had no leading. I had nobody to take care of me, to keep me safe, to secure me. But now I have a Heavenly Father. Amen. That watches over me and takes care of me. However, that is the same with family. You know, the family of God, I will never leave you nor forsake thee. Amen. That's the kind of father that I want. That is watching me all the time. When I do good, when I do bad, and when I'm ugly, he's still watching. But he will correct me. See? So, talking about support, sometimes we have kind of situations and problems in our life. See? But the family of God is always beside. Not only your regular family, but the family of God is there to help you in those times of troubles and problems and situations. We are here to help you as a family. So, and no one can deny the fact that it's much easier to face difficulties in life when we have a family beside us. Unless you like to face coronavirus by yourself. You know, I have a guy told me in the store he didn't have a mask. And I told him, why don't you put a mask? You know, it's an order. You know, it's a mandate. He says, I don't care. And I'm not afraid to die. I said, well, it's not that you're not afraid to die. It's not you. This is about us. So there are some people that they don't care either way. But you and I, we care about one another. We care about people. So we put our masks because we love one another. So we need family beside to support us when with their care and their love. The Psalm 127:1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build. Let except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain, or watch in vain. Listen, if God is not keeping me, if I'm not building a life, see, you have to build a life that is pleasing to God, because just because you said, but God is keeping me and I'm not going to die of coronavirus, I can do what you're tempting God. But what he's saying over here, you know, I don't care if it's a city, if it's a town, if it's a family of God. But God is watching over the family. And God is taking care, supporting, and keeping the family safe. See? That's our Father. And if that is our Father's thought, that should be your thought, my thought, to keep each other safe. When somebody hurts, when somebody needs prayer, when somebody put a request. That's what we do. We pray for one another. If I can chase 1,000, John and I can chase 10,000. That is how God made it. We need each other to keep us ourselves safe. Listen, and protect each other. And our family, we do that to our children. So when we come to church, it's your responsibility to keep the other one safe. You know, you are not here on your own. You're not an island out there on your own. See? Well, I'm going to get away. I'm going to buy me an island and go to Puerto Rico. I got a house in Puerto Rico. Sometimes I disappear for months. I don't hear. I go and visit anyway. You know, I forget about this. You need family. And one of your responsibilities is to keep one another safe and protect them. There's a lot of people that like to put some seed, you know, bad seed, you know. People like to talk, and people like to say things that are not truth, trying to destroy, you know, but you're supposed to keep your brother and your sister safe and protect them. You know, somebody, I used to have a friend that used to come, he's a friend of mine, but anyway, he used to tell me, I'm going to tell you something about so-and-so. Right away, I said, if you think that that is going to change my perception about that person, oh, it might. Okay, I don't want to hear it. Because I got a good impression of that guy right now. Now you're going to ruin it? I said, you know, I don't need that. So you should not hear anything, you know, chismes, imitote. ¿Cómo se dice that in English? Gossip. I forgot the word gossip. Yeah, if I'm speaking Spanish, I'm lost. Gossip. You know, you should not hear any gossip. You should not lend your ear to hear about your brother or your sister. I don't care how true it is. You should protect your brother and you should protect your sister. Amen. You should keep them safe from all that stuff. Amen. Do not entertain anything that is going to degrade somebody. Amen. That's the problem sometimes we have in church, you know. We have disagreements and we have this and we have that. But you know what? We need to keep each other safe, support each other. Security, safe and secure also. Security, sometimes we need to keep about the feelings of others and keep them secure. You know, Satan wants to destroy. See? And we need to keep each other safe from that. See? So Ephesians 4 and 6 says, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father, who is above all. Yes. And through all, and in you all. Yes. So if we have the same Father, we should be thinking the same way. We should be doing the same things, the things that pleases God. He put in my heart His desire. He put in my heart, He gave me the His desire. He gave me His thoughts. He gave me His word. And that is what I want to do. And if He do the same thing with you, we should be in one mind, in one accord. So, family. Another thing that is important in family is strength. See, this is something that is really needed, and it matters. And the strength come, I just read it for you. Just one God. It's just one unity. See, until we come to the unity in Ephesians 4, 12, until we come to the unity of that is God, you know, mature people, until we come to the unity that is the head, that is Christ, the same mind. We should not have two minds. It's just one mind. It's just one Father. It's just one God, one Spirit. So we should be doing the same thing. And feeling the same thing for one another. So family strength, see? What good is to have unity, to come to church and be together and not be united in one? And think about it. Because the strength comes from unity, not from getting together. So it behooves us, if we come to church, yeah, we made the effort and the sacrifice to come to church to try to get in one mind, in one accord, because there's where the victory is at. Amen. Together as one. Yes. Creating an atmosphere, you know, lifting. Amen. You know, I know we come in the flesh. We are in the flesh. We come in the flesh, but let's not stay in the flesh too long. Let's try to rise up to heavenly places. But it takes everybody to do that. Because the strength of the church is to create an atmosphere that we all can participate, come together to create an atmosphere so we all can rise up to heavenly places and hear from God. I didn't come to church just to stay sitting down in a pew or sit down in a chair, you know, even though, you know, it's comfortable sometimes. But I came to church because I want to rise up. You know, the world there gave me enough problems. I'm down and I'm out. When we come to church, we should be together to lift each other up. Not you. Lift somebody else up. Live for others, not for yourself. Because we need to come together in one mind and in one accord so we can live, create an atmosphere You know, if you don't need the armor of fear created for me, I need it. Because the only place you're going to hear from God is when you go to heavenly places. See? So that is the strength of the family of God when we come together. See? Not that we are together, but that we are in one mind, united, worshiping God, thinking the same thing. See? How can we think the same thing? What if we think the word of God? We always, that is the only common ground here. Because I know we are different. I'm from Puerto Rico, you from Spain, and you from Mexico, and you know, we have differences. You know, Brother Brown says some like apple pie, some like pineapple pie, and you know, whatever. But this is not what we're talking about. We know we are different. But there's enough power of God in this place to bring us together as one, because it's one body. That is his idea. See? The family of God loves and understands each one another. And this is necessary, you know, to come to church and just let me get what I need to get and let me get out. That's, you know, check a box. I came to church. See? But we don't come to church only just for our own interest. But we come to church because we love and we understand others. See? That is a basic requirement. People have basic, human beings, you know, they have emotional needs when they come to church. When you come to church, you have some physical needs and you have some spiritual needs in your life. See? And all is essential. See? So what are you going to do when you come to church? Is that we get together in such a way, in one accord, that we can provide to each other that affection that we need. You know, that we can provide each other an outlet through worshiping, to bringing you to heavenly places so all your needs can be met. I'm not going to meet your need, but I do my best to lift you up to that place that is a God that will meet your need. See, I didn't come here for me. I came here for you, and you should come here for me. And if you do that, then we all get something. This is not about me. It's about you. And as a family, we need to care for one another in order for God to meet our needs. Because I cannot, you know, I don't know what you need tonight. I don't know your heart. But if we can get in that heavenly place, create the atmosphere, and to care for one another, I tell you what, I know who's going to meet your needs. When you live here, I tell you, you live a different person. You will not live the same way you come in. If you pull for one another, you pull for one another. This is not a one-man rapture. This is not for one no more. That some people have an idea. This is a body move. And this body is not going to move until this body here, not there. But when I get there, God will change. Listen, if we cannot get together here, we ain't going to get together there. Amen? So we need to care for one another, pray for one another, help one another in every way that we can, so God can come down and meet each one of our needs. And God can do that. I can't, but God can do that. Because he knows your heart and your heart and your heart. But it's the attitude we come into the church with. See? The expectation. So, we come to church as a family of God. And we can do that for one another. And then we can have a sense, you know, of belonging. You know, families, that's all they want. They want to have a place that they can belong to. You know, when you get here, you go home, and then you have a home, and you have a place, and you have a father, and you have a place you belong to. You know, church is the same way. You come to church, and you want to belong. You have a feeling of belonging to something greater than you are. See? But the only place you can find that is in the family of God, because we love each other. We understand each other. We can help each other. Our Heavenly Father, he says, is the only one that understands us the best and know about us even every minute detail. We give us a feeling of satisfaction. See, I cannot do that. But he can do that. Amen. But we need to come to help one another. So we can get the Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of souls, of spirit, of joints and marrows, and discerning the thought and intentions of the heart. Another great importance of God's family is that He protects us for all kind of influences, external influences. You know, our children, they go to school and they're bombarded all day long with all kind of things, all kind of spirits, contrary to the word of God. And you are those too when you go to work. You know, it's a fight sometimes. You know, you're rushing, you know, elbow to elbow, you know, with good spirits, bad spirits, ugly spirits. But God says, you know, that the word of God can discern all those spirits. That's why we come to church. We want to learn, see? We want to learn how to walk and how to avoid and how to deal with these things. You have to be able to discern what's good and what's bad. Just like your children, you teach your children, you know, this is right and this is wrong. So they won't do, and they can discern when they see the wrong and we see the right. We come to church with the same thing as a family. We come together to learn what's right and what's wrong. And that is what discernment is all about. Now, it's a lot of pressure, peer pressure for the young people. That sometimes is also for the adults. That can create problems, you see. And they might force you and me to do something that is not correct, see. Satan will not waste no time. We can have a good time here, but he's waiting, see. Because all that what he wants is make our life miserable anyway. So God gave us the word of God so we can discern these things. See, and the family of God needs to discern by using the word. Sometimes we come to church and that's what, you know, we come and we get a scrub and we get cleaned up. See, and we learn what's right, what's wrong. So when we go out there, we can make the right choices. And we can help each other in that reason, in that way too. Because the Bible, Brother Brown says, when Satan comes like a flood, he needs to, you know, God will raise a standard. You are the standard. But you need to understand what's right and what's wrong. And have a discernment on what's right and what's wrong. And that is only learned here. See? I know you teach your children that. But we are children of God, and when we come to church, that is something very essential that we need to learn. Because we can defeat Satan anytime, any place, in any situation with the word of God. If we do have the discern, we need to have discern, we need to mature. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee, and Satan will rise up like a flood, right? In judgment, thou shalt condemn. He didn't say he will condemn, he said, thou shalt. See, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, the Lord says. You know what righteousness is? To think right and to do right. But you cannot think right and do right unless you had him in your heart to give you the right thoughts and the right things to do. In order to have the right discernment, you need to know what's right. And you also need to do what's right. But you cannot do that unless you have his revelation of his word. And you have the power, the Holy Spirit, to make you live that word. See, that's what discernment is all about. See? And that's what we come as a family, just like your family, to learn, see, to learn this thing, how to discern what is wrong and what is right. This is a training place to train you, to go out there and do battle. But you need to know, you have to be equipped with the right tools, see. Another thing the family is the importance of the family is raising a child. And not only in the natural family, but you know, the family of God is also has a role in raising your child. See? We help in raising your child. You know, some people come in church and they say, well, you're not going to tell me what to do, and you're not going to tell my children what to do. Okay, then, are we a family or we're not a family? You know, God is in us, and God is His Word. So, if God corrects you from the pulpit or from whatever, you know, you're a child of God, and God is going to correct you. Why would you kind of don't want no correction? If you don't want correction, you know what the alternative is. But sometimes, you know, we think, well, I know, parents, that your responsibility to raise your child is yours. But all I'm saying is that church is here also to help you raise you as a child just as well as your child. Because you're still a child of God. You know, I don't know everything, and I have not learned everything. And I learn things every day. You know, all as I am, I'm still learning. You know, I will never stop learning. The day you stop learning, you know, you put a period, you're done. There's nothing there for you to learn. Well, let's go. But as long as I'm in this flesh, I will learn. And I don't mind to learn from my brothers and my sister. You know, we need sometimes a little help. You know, take for example, Sunday school. What is Sunday school? We're trying to help you with your children's. We're trying to help you, you know, raise your children according to the admonition of God and His Word. We're helping you. A church is just like a family, you know. And you trust us. That's the thing, that you trust God and you trust us with your children, you know, the Sunday school teachers that we have here. But that's what we do, trying to help you raise your children. And that church is one of the things that we do. That's important, raising your child. See, like Sunday school, like I said. So, sometimes I've seen, I don't want to call name, but Sister Victoria, you know, I'm trying to fill anybody by, but sometimes I see that Sister Bridget and Sister, don't tell me, I will remember. Okay, I don't remember. Huh? Danielle. Yeah, Danielle. Sometimes they help them, they help to take care of the kids in church. I mean, that's why we are here, to help you, to help each other in whatever need that we have. See? We are not just one family there, one family there, and everybody on his own, and, you know, whatever you can do, you do. And no, we came here to help each other in any way possible. But it says family come sometime to rescue. We are here sometimes, we rescue one another when we have decisions to make, when we have problems and circumstances. I just remember that Tina just moved. And I appreciate, you know, some of you that are here. And I don't want to mention them because then I forget some and that's it. But you went to help. See, that's why we are here. You know, Tina said, I wouldn't be able to do this. I couldn't even done this unless I had the help that some of you guys gave her to take all that house and pack everything and pack the trucks and do all these things. They would have been able to leave when they left that house when they're supposed to. So we are here because we want to help one another. We want to help you, what do your children. This is all what church is all about. It's a big family trying to help one another. We don't want to destroy anybody. I'm not here to destroy you. I like to build you up. I'd like to help you in some kind of way with the preaching, you know, so you can be better than you came in. See, and that's what I want for myself. First title 5 said, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. So you should treat me as a father. You should be respectful. I'm an elder. And you should be, young people, you should be respectful. See? And not so young people, you should respect your elders. When you come to church, it's like a father, he says to you. See? So in the attitude that you come to church, God will give you depending on that attitude. If it's good or bad, When different, you're just going to get whatever, depending. And your attitude you got towards the preacher, well, I think this is too long. And I don't know if this guy's preaching or there. Bring Brother Doug back. You know, respect is something that we own each other. We need to respect each other. He says, entreat him as a father. Don't talk to him like he's your buddy, you know. I don't try to make him less than what he is, even if he's probably not educated. It doesn't matter, you know, more than the person. You never make him feel less than you are, because you don't do that with your father, or your heights is up, you know. So you should treat your elders as fathers. And the younger men as what? As brothers. This is the relationship. It's important. This is what God is saying when we come to church. The other woman as a mother. This is just a big, nice family, huh? Mother, brothers, fathers. The younger sisters says with all purity. You should treat someone else the way you treat your husband, the way you treat your son, the way you treat your mom. You should treat the same way the family of God. I mean, assuming that you're treating it right, you know. You're doing the right things. Let me clarify that, you know. If you are living a Christian life, you know, you should treat each other in church just like you treat your own family. You know what? That is my beef here. I know some people treat their family better than they treat the family of God. And they should be no different. It's because we are a family. You should be concerned about your brother and your sister. All the time.
Yes.
He says, the other woman's mother, the younger sisters, he said, this in Titus 2:4 says, well, no, it's not Titus, it's Timothy 2:4, I think it is. I don't know. I think it's Timothy 2:4. He says, this older woman must train the younger women to love their husband and their children. See, you do have a responsibility to the family of God. The older one, teach the younger one. This is not just church. This is a family. It says, woman to love their husband and their children. On 5 says, and to be discreet. See, you know what being discreet is? You know, make sure you don't do something or talk about somebody else, or, you know, gossip, and be discreet about the things you do. Be careful that you do not offend somebody. Be careful that somebody sees you doing something that you're not supposed to be doing. You know, be discreet. Probably means more than that, but chaste, keeper of a home, good, obedient, that their own husband, that the word of God be not blamed. Blaspheme. See, the way you treat, you know, the family of God, or the way you treat your own physical family will bring either glory to God, or you can be blaspheming. And you know what? A child of God will never, Brother said, will never blaspheme the word of God. So don't worry about it. Don't get worried about that. You know, oh, I don't want to blaspheme. If you're a child of God and you got the Holy Spirit, you will never blaspheme against God. Your men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. One more, and I think, I don't even know what, let me check time. Oh, wow, they have a time here. I got a few minutes. And the last one, God family is extremely important to make us who we are. We are shaping you. We are molding you to the image of God. That's what the pastor is here for. See, he's here so he can bring us up to maturity. The ministers, the fivefold ministry, that's to build you up, to bring you to that head that is Christ, to maturity. See, we are not here just to come to church, but to help us in providing with the first steps, you know, and the last step, not only the first, the middle, and the end. Instructing us, instilling in us moral values, you know. our family, oh God, help us in the building up of the personality and the character. That's what we want. When we live here, we want the character of God. And that's why we are here, trying to instill in you that character. See? Because without that character, we are not living here. In fact, without that character, we ain't going nowhere. So we need to help each other. We, the church, will help you, you know, in those. Ultimately, it is our God family that assists and helps to shape us and make us who we are today. So don't you think that you at home listening at a tape by yourself can do that? You can go but so far by yourself, because we are a family and we need the family of God in order for all these things to be. God created that order. It wasn't me. It wasn't Brother Doug. It wasn't Love Divine. This is God's way and God's order. Why do we need to come to church? Well, I gave you 7 reasons why do we need to come to church. But the last one is to help you, to shape you, to make you what you're supposed to be. See? Well, but I can't stay home and listen to tape. Well, good luck to you. You know, you're not going to have me there telling you what's, you know, you don't want to hear me tell you what's good, what's bad, what's indifferent. See, that's the problem. Somebody don't want to hear. You know what the problem in today's society is, and in the church, is authority. People don't want to be under authority. People hate authority. That's what the things happening in our country. It's just people don't want to be under authority. That is not so in church, because God is our head. He's our authority. Mine and yours. And God is not going to tell me something different and make you do something different. He make us do the same thing. So family is really important. The family of God is really important. And means everything to me. And it should mean everything to you when we come to church. Family has been there for us. The church has been here for us just as well. In any situation, problem that we have. We always here. We are here in the beginning and we'll be here in the end when this is all done. Amen. They are the greatest people I think that I have ever met and been blessed. You guys. You know what? God brought me here. And this is your local family that's going to help you grow. That is going to help you when you have problems. That is going to shape you. You know, sometimes, you know, God might use somebody to poke at me, you know, so the badness come out so I can say, you know, hey, I got to get rid of that. I mean, God can use your wife. You look at Job. She said, why don't you just curse and die? But sometimes God sometimes had to use even your own loved ones, the closest one to you, to poke you. Don't get mad at them. Thank God, you know. It is not her problem. It's your problem. So deal with it. Just thank God that somebody at least pointed it out, like Brother Doug sometimes says. So we have been blessed, and we're still being blessed in this church with this local body. Even though sometimes we question the cure and the way we do things. But I tell you what, we should not never question God. I believe that God wanted me here. I believe that this is my, God wanted me to be under the top pastor. God wanted me to be with this local family. And my children has grown. They're married and they're excellent Christians. But I owe that to church, not so much me. You know, and I'm so glad that God gave me a family, you know, that I can depend on when I needed it. That's why we should not miss church. That's why we should just come, because we need one another. Amen. In just about everything. This is not a solo flight. You know, you're not going to be raptured by yourself. We all need to come to that maturity so we can get out of here. So why we don't just help one another? Amen. Can you stand? Amen. I hope you feel the same way I feel about this family. Sometimes I'm kind of moody, you know, and you know, sometimes depending if I'm hungry, my sugar goes down and I get a little moody. So just tell me I'm moody. Listen, friend, if you have any disagreement with your brother at home, what do you do? You don't see him no more. You don't want to talk to him, and you forget it. Or I hope, you know, he don't talk to me anymore. What do? You talk to him. He's your brother, right? Trying to get things work out. Brother Brown says, you know, go in the back. You know, you ministers, like brothers, you know, go and fight and kick and do it. But when you come to the front, you know, be in your best behavior. Listen, if you have any disagreement with somebody, you don't want to leave it that way forever, because you can, you know, destroy a service completely with a wrong attitude. We don't have to be afraid of one another. John can come to me and tell me, Brother Eli, I think this is wrong with you. Okay, I should be able to talk about it. We brothers, right? Brother Branham says, I know that somebody had done me wrong. What did he say to do? To go over there and kick him out of the church, or don't talk to him, or he's his fault, I don't want to see him anymore? No, he says, take him shoulder to shoulder to the throne of God. I mean, not physically, but get down to prayer. We have the same Father. You have a brother with somebody, even go and talk to him and say, hey, let's go and talk to Papa. Because you and I, we're not seeing eye to eye. We have some disagreement, and I don't know, but I could be right, I could be wrong, you could be... This is not about right and wrong. This is about the truth. It's what I want. So you take the sister. You can tell your sister and say, let's go and talk to Papa and see what Papa says. The right attitude. See, that's it, the right attitude. Brother Van says, you go and you start praying. You go and you start praying about the situation, about this man that did you wrong and this and that. And said, by the time you get done praying, you realize God will show you that you have something to do with that problem. Maybe not intentionally, but you have something to do with that condition or that man. See, and that's what we should do. If we have problem, if we have disagreement, we don't need to be fighting and fussing and I'm right and you're wrong. Why don't you just get down and say, let's go and talk to Papa. Let's ask him, what should we do? But that takes an attitude. That takes loving your brother and loving your sister. That is not something that the flesh wants to do. See? We are family. And we are going to make it together. Amen. And I need you. And you need me. And we need each other tonight. So we can help each other to make it. Amen. That is God's ways. You say, but I want to talk to God. But you know what? Look at the person that is next to you. You want to see God? Look at the person next to you. But that's the only way you're going to see God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to look at your word and look at the instructions and look at what is really true and faithful, God, to us. Father, we love the word. We love to for you to come down in the, like you did in the cool of the evening, like this Wednesday, Lord, and come and fellowship with us, Father, and tell us, Father, how much... do we mean to one another? Father, it is your family. It's not my family. We are your children, Father. And that's why we welcome you, because we want you to come down and tell us the way that we need to lead, the way that we should treat one another. Father, the way we should converse, we act to one another, Father. Father, we don't want to do anything that is against you and against your word. We don't want to offend anybody, not intentionally, but if we do, Father, help us to understand that we are brothers and sisters, that we belong to the same Father, and we can go to Papa and say, Papa, this is a situation. We don't need to be running people down and leaving and without first at least try to resolve things. Father, we thank you because you are a Father that cares, that loves us, that understands us. And I want you to help me and help us tonight to understand that we need one another in order to fulfill your word tonight, Father. Be with our brother Doug tonight, Father, wherever he's at. And I'm glad that he is resting. He took a nap. I hope he's resting. Father, I'm glad that I'm able to serve him and wash his feet tonight and give him a little rest. Father, it is an honor and to serve one another, Father. But we pray for that you can physically, his body, his mind, his rest him, Lord. And Father, continue using him in a way in a mighty way like that, so we can become the children of God in the image. Shape us, Father, mold us through your word. Father, we ask you now, Father, that you bless your people. And everything, Father, we know that we have come this far because you protect us and you keep us and you save us, Father, and you cover us. Father, we love you. Even if you don't do nothing else, we still love you for all the things that you have done so far. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the people. Thank you for the trustees, the deacon. Thank you for our pastor. I thank you for every minute, every day, every month, every year, every that I have spent in this place, Father. I have never been disappointed because you never disappoint me. I know that sometimes, like I said, you know, you want fellowship with your people. And sometimes I believe that the only reason people go out and try to find other fellowship and they want to go out to this church or to this meeting, because they say they're seeking fellowship. Listen, my friend, if you have the fellowship that is the true fellowship, is God and around his word. And if we are fellowshipping with God, that satisfies all my desires of fellowship. I don't need to be looking anywhere. I just look inside me. Because God is the true word that we fellowship around. We can sit down and fellowship around food and games and music. We have in this town, we have what is called Harmony in the Desert. It is fellowship, but that's not true fellowship. Because the only true fellowship is with you and your word and around your word. So I'm satisfied. Because I'm fellowshipping with you when I fellowship with your children in this church. I'm satisfied completely. I don't need to look anywhere. Everything that I have need is in this church. I don't need to look any other place. Everything that I need, you have provided in this church. The gifts that you have put in the people. Everything is here. The Holy Ghost, everything that I had need of, is in me already. And the family of God is part of that. I am glad because I feel complete, Father, and I thank you. I was one day an orphan without a father. One day I was poor and without Christ and without hope and without God. But now I went from being poor to riches. I went from being an orphan to being adopted in the family of God. Oh, I like that song that we used to sing. I'm part of the family of God. In the name of Jesus, we ask you all these things. Amen. Let me see if we can sing that song. I'm so glad. Are you glad? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family. I have washed in the fountain and cleansed by. Are you glad you are part of this family? The family of God. How the stance goes? We say, brother and sister, right here, is because you're a family, and these folks are so near. When one has a need, we all share the tear. Amen. In the family so dear, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family.